This Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to preach a two-part message entitled Living Holy, Holy Unto the Lord. If you were here back in November, I used that terminology in a message that I preached on praying with authority. And I talked about the difference between authority and power. And authority as a believer in Christ is based upon my position in Jesus. Because I'm a follower of Jesus, He is living inside of me, I'm a joint heir with Him, I have authority here on earth. The devil has power on earth, but he doesn't have authority on earth. That authority has been given to me because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's authority. The power dimension's a little bit different. Authority is based on position. Power is based in part upon my intimacy, my close walk with the Holy Spirit. The disciples before the day of Pentecost, they had authority because they were followers of Jesus, but they had no power until the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts chapter 2. And then that power spread throughout, and the gospel has continued to multiply ever since then. So power is dependent upon two realities. How holy am I, and how holy am I? The first holy is the one we're going to be talking about today. It's H-O-L-Y. That is, how different am I? How set apart am I? It's the idea I'm separating my life from sin. I'm living a righteous life. I'm not compromising. I have a humble attitude. I'm dealing with brokenness. I'm dealing with people in a good, godly way. The other holy we'll look at next week is W-H-O-L-L-Y. And that is this whole idea of passion. How committed am I to the Lord? How devoted am I to God? How zealous am I for God in serving Him and advancing His kingdom? Now, certainly these two interlace with each other, but I want to segment them for this Sunday and next so we can see, as we look at ourselves, how holy are we and how holy are we? During this 28 days of prayer and fasting, I think it's important that we understand the distinction between these two. And so I want to develop this idea. And over here behind me is, I have a chart of what it means to be holy with an H and holy with a W. So hopefully you can see it right here. This is what we're going to look at today. And it's this diagram, or excuse me, this graph. And we have this vertical line here that represents holy. And a key word related to holy is perspective. How godly, in fact, you could say, how God-like is my perspective? And we're going to accentuate that by the word light. How much like the light is it? How holy is it? And then how worldly or how world-like is my perspective? And that is represented by dark. Next week, we're going to focus on this thing of holy. How passionate am I? We have perspective here. We have passion here. And the key word here is cold or indifferent. And as we move down the line, how hot or how devoted am I? So right now we're going to look at this idea of holy. And the key verse here is that verse I think many of us have heard many times. It's Matthew 5:48. Jesus speaking to His disciples, in fact speaking to maybe several thousand people, He said, "Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy." Say that with me. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. So what does it mean to be holy? We'll look at that right now. So the big idea for the message today is this. We can live on earth like we will in eternity. And let me say it again. You can live here on earth like you will in eternity. It means today this thing of being holy. What is the measure of living a holy life? What do I mean by that? How you know you are living a holy life? How do you gauge whether or not you are living on earth like it is in heaven? You see, we can pray that prayer. We pray the Lord's Prayer on earth as it is in heaven. We believe that. It can be on earth as it is in heaven. Well, listen, you can live on earth like it is in heaven as well. We can live on earth like Adam and Eve were intended to live before they sinned. Because this word holy, what it means, this is important, and I've said this a number of times through the years, but it's important we grasp this thought. To be holy means to be set apart. It means to be different. It means to be unique. It means to have, over here again on the board, to have a different perspective about life. I'm going to add this. It's to be from a different order. Not to be from the order of the world, but to live from the order of heaven itself. So how this implies, I want to show you how it applies in Matthew 5, not only in one spot, but how it applies to the entirety of our lives. How we are all to relate different to each other. In fact, as Jesus says in Matthew 5:48, he says, "Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy." But before he says that, he says this, "You have heard that the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Jesus now takes it a step farther. "I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, and that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives the sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends the rain on the just and unjust. If you love only those who love you, with what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that, but you are to be holy or perfect, even as your Heavenly Father is holy or perfect." So God loves people in a uniquely different way. And he says, "I want you to love people in a uniquely different way." Going back over here, let's look at what he says. The world says, love your friends and hate your enemies. That's what the world says. Be kind to those who are kind to you. And if they're not kind, if they're a jerk, you act like a jerk to them. Don't have anything to do. That's what the world says. But God says, if you want to be like me, God-like, to live in the light, then you need to bless those who curse you. Love them, because your Heavenly Father, he lets it rain on the good people and the bad people. He lets the sunshine come on the good people and the bad. He does segment. That's what it means to be God-like. That's what it means to be unique, different, from a different order, to have a different perspective. I was thinking about this, and a thought came to my mind. If God took you to the end of your life, let's say that you die on January the 11th, 2016, tomorrow morning, all right? And God took you for an hour, and he showed you all the things that had happened in your life and where he was in the middle of it, and what the enemy was trying to do, and what fruit your decisions played, or how they played out in your life, both good and bad. And then after an hour being dead, he resurrected you, you came back into this life. Do you think you would live from a different perspective? Absolutely, because God has shown you, look, here's what your decisions do, here's where I am in the mix, and here's what your enemy, you would live completely different because your perspective has changed. And that's exactly what I'm saying here with this holiness issue. When you're living holy to the Lord, you're saying, okay, I want to live from a God-like perspective, the way God sees the world, not the way the world says that I should live. So this idea of holiness is all about changing your perspective. I believe that's the foundational idea of what it means to live a holy life. You're living from the perspective of on earth as it is in heaven. I'm living a kingdom lifestyle. I'm living the way God intended for life always to be lived, as it was started out by Adam and Eve, as it will be lived out in eternity when this life ends and we enter into the next life and the fullness of life when Jesus himself comes. It is challenging to live that kind of life right now because the residue of sin touches everything. And we have a real enemy who is resisting God's efforts, our efforts to live from that different, from that God-like, from that holy perspective. I believe this, is that living a holy life will affect two things in your life. It will affect your morality, and it will also affect your relationships. When I'm talking about morality, I'm talking about like moral purity. And I specifically, we're going to target two areas of moral purity, our speech and our sexuality in just a moment. But when I talk about morality, this is what I mean. Morality is a set of values in our lives that determine what is right and wrong. A set of values that determines what is right and what is wrong. Let me tell you, the foundational foundational values that every Christian ought to have. You in the pew, you have to have these. These need to be set in stone. The foundational values that determine right and wrong are these. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That must be set. What does it mean to love God with everything? It means, God, you get first place in every place. God, I surrender myself to you. I surrender my will. I surrender my opinions. I surrender my body. I surrender the gifts, the talents, the time, the resources. They're all yours. I want to obey you. You're first. That's what it means to love God. He's first place. I obey him. What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? Well, Jesus says, treat others the way you want to be treated. And treat others the way your heavenly Father treats you. Those things are values that then determine what is right, what is godly, what is light, what is holy, and keeps us away from what is dark and what is world-like. If these foundational values aren't in place, you will not fully live what it means to live, to be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Peter expands upon this idea of what it means to be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. He explains a little bit about it. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, these words, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Think, okay, and that's going to influence your actions, your self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Think about him. He's first place. So you must live as God's, what kind of children? Obedient children. That's how we love him, by being obedient. And then he tells them this. Don't slip back to the ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. Peter is saying, listen, one time you used to live right here, okay? But now you know better. Now you live up here. You live from a completely different perspective than the way you used to live. And that's important for all of us. Peter is calling them to live differently, live the life of heaven on earth. And as I said, there are two clear areas. And you could apply this to every area of your life. But there are two clear areas I want to address where we are to live different than the world. One is with our speech, with the words that come out of our mouth as we interact with others. Romans chapter 12, verse 14 says, you know, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who say evil against you. So the words that come out of our mouth are important. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul says these words. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. The worldly perspective says this about your speech. It's a free country. Just say what you want to say. If you don't like something, just tell them. Don't hold back. Somebody posts something on your Facebook or their Facebook and you don't like it, you know, put a thumbs down. Tell them what you feel. You can do that around here. Nitpick, be negative, tell coarse jokes, use foul language. It's your life. Do whatever you want. You see what that is? It's this again. That is worldlike. That is not godlike. You're living from the world's perspective on this thing. Coarse, pessimistic, negative, vainly opinionated speech, but godly speech runs through a different grid. Godly speech, listen to what Paul says, Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just kind of abbreviated. He says, with the Lord's authority, I say this to you, live no longer as Gentiles. What's he saying? Don't live like the world. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander from the life of God because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw away that old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew, this is important, renew your thoughts and attitudes. And then he goes on down to say that scripture, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words can be an encouragement. He said, look, you used to live like this as a person who was centered, had a perspective of the world. But now, because Christ is living in you, you have a new nature. Don't talk like that any longer. Instead, use your words to encourage and build each other up. Now, let me tell you this. Hey, look at me. This is not behavior modification. Behavior modification says this. Don't do that. Do this. Stop that. Start that. That's behavior modification. Folks, listen to me. We are not into that. Okay, that's just about changing actions. No, we're into this. We change our perspective. When we change our perspective, it will automatically begin to change our actions. When I say, okay, I'm supposed to be godlike, I'm to be holy, to have a separate, to be different, I come from a different order, a unique order, I see things as God says, well then naturally, that's going to be reflected in my speech. It will also be reflected in the expression of your sexuality. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and following says, Jesus again speaking, he said, you have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery, but I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, the worldly perspective when it comes to sexuality is this. It doesn't matter. As long as it's consensual, then just do it with whomever you want. It's your business. And when it comes to pornography, who cares? It's your life. Don't let anybody judge you. I mean, that's the worldly, the carnal, the dark perspective. But Jesus says here, the godlike perspective is this, is that physical intimacy is only to be between a man and a woman in a marital relationship, period. That's it. That's how it's to be expressed. You're not to either physically bring another person into that relationship, and mentally, you don't need to be thinking about another person. So pornography, yeah, it's wrong. That worldly perspective says, just do what you want. Godly perspective says, I'm going to follow what God says is right. Now, and what's happened this day, not only in the area of speech, but also in the area of sexuality, is that we just see people just kind of doing whatever they want to do and creating a huge mess. Emotionally, it's hurting people. Physically, of course, it's hurting people. And kids and just people of all different stripes are being affected by this promiscuous sort of sexual expression. It's almost like two NFL football teams playing each other with different rules. Now, let's say, yesterday, the Texans, they played the Chiefs. Let's say the Texans took the ball, they come to the 10-yard line, get to the 9-yard line, they all walk off the field giving each other high fives. People's like, what's going on? And the Texans said, well, our rules are we just play 90 yards. As long as we cross the 10-yard line, then we've scored a touchdown. And the Chiefs are like, well, that's not fair. And then when the Texans decide to play offense again, then the Chiefs, they don't listen to the hike. And instead, they just run across the line and tackle the quarterback or running back or whomever. And they're just knocking people over. And we're like, what are you doing? No, he didn't hike the ball. They said, well, we don't play like that. It's just that whenever you get set, we're going to come across the line. Now, that's crazy. And yet, that is exactly what people are doing when it comes to sexuality. They're just saying, whatever the rules are, you decide. God says, here's my perspective. Here's how it's to be lived out. If you want to be holy, as I am holy, then walk it out this way. There are many other applications to this principle of living a holy life. As I said, it applies to your money, possessions, taking care of your body, developing your mind, and also your personal relationships, that we are to relate to one another differently. We're not just to be kind because that's what we're supposed to do. We're to be kind, to be gracious, to show mercy because we live from a holy, a unique, from a godlike perspective. That's the way he relates to us, and therefore that's the way I'm to relate to each other. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says these words in verses 1 through 5. He says, "Don't judge others, and you'll not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, hypocrite! Get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." Now, let me tell you this. The Bible doesn't say we can't correct one another. The Bible never says we can't rebuke one another. The Bible doesn't say that we're just to let each person do whatever they want to do. No, no, no. It says if we see a person in sin, we are to go to them. But it's with this attitude of humility. "Brother, I see you in sin here. I've dealt with that same kind of stuff." It's acknowledging that log in our own eye. "Man, I've messed up. I've been in a bad place. I've made some bad decisions. Brother, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to call you up and out of the mess you're in, to live a holy, to live a different, a unique kind of life." That's what it means, this personal perspective. You see, the worldly perspective is, you see a person that's wandering in sin or whatever, and it's to be judgmental of them. "Look at you. You're awful. You're terrible. Don't you know you need to stop that?" A godly perspective is, "Brother, I have compassion on you. I feel the mercy of God for you, but also a little bit of fear for you. You need to come back to the Lord. Your life is going to be so much better." I mean, there's a different perspective there. I was watching an episode of the reality TV show Hoarders. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I'm not recommending that you see it. It's a sad show. It's a sad reality show. But we were watching it last Sunday night. It's Juliana and I were. And they began this episode of Hoarders with this elderly woman. She's in this mobile home, and it is stacked high with junk. Junk everywhere. And there are mice just milling all about. And the worst part, she's feeding the mice. And so there's just junk and mice, and she's in ill health, and she sleeps literally in a plastic outdoor chair in her kitchen area. And it's not even a kitchen. I don't know what. It's just a mess. I don't know how in the world this woman has been living in this mess. And so as I'm watching this, I'm like, that lazy person, look at her. Can you believe this? She's living like this. And then, of course, they call the family in, and they're trying to help her to declutter her home. And literally, she would not let them take out a scrap of paper without her first looking at it. And folks, she had paper everywhere. And so they were taking her paper and saying, "Can we throw this away? Well, let me look at it first. Let me look at it first." And it had mice urine on it and droppings, and there were, you know, it was just gross. And I was thinking to myself, I cannot believe this lady. And the family, they were beginning, "Why are you living like this? Don't you see this is bad for your health? You're going to get hurt. Your health is going to continue to decline." And then suddenly, my perspective changed. I've been having that worldly perspective. That lazy person. I just have disdain for you. How could you allow this to happen in your life? You just don't have enough self-control. That's where I was. That's where the family was. But then suddenly it changed. Because what I saw, and I think it was the Holy Spirit, this woman has at a minimum a mental disorder. There are probably many other things that she's dealing with. But it became obvious that there was some kind of mental illness that was going on with this lady that would not allow her to release even the smallest scrap of trash out of her life. And I changed. I thought, look at her. God bless her. She's just broken. She's in pain. She needs healing. It changed from a worldly perspective to a more godlike perspective. You know, I watched that and I saw, kind of what came across my mind was, let's say there was a stroke patient. I mean, some of you know, have experienced that, or know people that have had a stroke and they've lost feeling on one side of their body, and here they are, they're laying out in bed. Can you imagine the family coming up to that stroke patient who can't move on half of his body and say, "Well, why don't you get up out of bed? You're just lazy. I can't believe you're letting all these people take care of you. You could take care of yourself." I mean, that would be heartless, right? Because you know the problem is not that they don't want to get up, it's that they can't get up. And it was the same way with this lady. It wasn't that she didn't want to get out of the trash, it's just she couldn't because of the junk that was going on in her own life. Again, I'm trying to help you to see, as we relate to one another, let's relate to one another out of a different perspective, out of a holy perspective. Be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. Right now on the screen, there are a number of passages that talk about how we are to relate to one another. These are the ethical passages of the New Testament. And there are more, far more than what I have listed here. These are just kind of large sections. Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus' message to his disciples and others there. Romans 12, Galatians 5, Ephesians 4, verse 17 through chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, Colossians 3, all of James. And if you're part of our 28 days of prayer and fasting, you've read that. It's really a whole lot about how we relate to one another. And then, of course, 1 Peter 2 through 4 and 1 John 3. I encourage you just to look at that. That's how God said we're to relate to one another. So I hope you understand what I'm saying here on this thing. Be holy. Be holy. Be unique. Be godlike. Don't be worldly. Don't respond. Don't relate as the world does. How do you do that? What's the means to live a holy life? What is the means to live a holy life? Well, I'm not going to spend much time on it this Sunday. I'll spend more time on it next Sunday. But let me give you two real quick things here. The means to live a holy life. The first one is this, and this is good news. They're both great news. This is good. You have a new heart. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Jesus took out that old, dead, sinful heart and replaced it with a new heart, with a new spirit. I mean, just meditate on Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through chapter 3, verse 7. Read through it. Chapter 2, 6 through chapter 3, 7. It's all about this new heart that we have. We have a new heart. We are new people. We have a new nature. My sins are forgiven. My old sinful nature has been removed. I'm not bound by the law of Moses. I'm not bound to the devil. I have a new life. I'm united in him. We have a new heart. In other words, it is absolutely 100% possible to live on earth as it is in heaven, to live from that perspective of holiness. Second thing is this. Renew your mind. It says this in the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't live from this worldly perspective, he says. But let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Then, and I add this, then when your thinking changes as God deals with the old mindsets and the old lies, you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In other words, when he brings this transformation of your thinking, all of a sudden you begin to change your perspective. That's what it means. That's how we become holy, by the renewal of our mind. And as I said, next Sunday I'm going to spend more time on this and develop it, as well as this other idea of living a holy life. So let me go back to the big idea. We can live on earth like we will in eternity. It is absolutely possible. It is possible to be holy as God is holy. Man, that's good news. It really is possible. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to sin. All that stuff. We're broken. We're broken. But he has made it possible to live his kind of life here on earth. So what I'd like for you to do, just two takeaway points, is this. As you look at your own holiness, where are you on this graph? Probably none of us are down here. You know, our heart is dark. And we're kind of cold or indifferent towards God. I mean, we'd put Satan there, okay? He's there at that corner. But if you put yourself on this holiness perspective as it comes to how you deal with people, about your morality, how you use the giftings, talents, time, resources God's given you, where is your perspective? And the second area is this, is what is one area in your life where you'd say, God, I need you to change this perspective in my life? Lord, I need to see these things from your perspective and not mine. I'll tell you what, during this 28 days of prayer and fasting, the first day two, I mean, God just spoke to me and said, this whole thought came up on my mind. Your perspective is too tainted by the world. You need to begin to have more of my perspective on things. be holy as I'm holy. Amen. Let me pray for you, and then I'll speak a blessing over you. Father, we thank you for speaking to us about holiness. Lord, we want to be holy as you are holy. That is our confession. In fact, would you just say it out loud? Lord, we want to be holy as you are holy. So teach us how we can have that God-like perspective and not be controlled by this world-like perspective. Show us how to renew our minds on a daily basis so that we reflect more of heaven on earth into everyone around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guest, thank you for being here today. If you're a first-time guest, my wife will be out in the atrium after the second service to greet you and provide you with a gift for your presence with us here today. If you need prayer, our prayer team will be down front after the second service, and the Deacon of the Week will be available here at the end of the first service. Come and express whatever your prayer concerns are for them. If you have specific concerns you'd like the church to pray for, then complete that blue card and put it in the box that's there on the door to your left, or on the side to your left as you're exiting the auditorium today. Now, here's a great benediction, a great blessing for you and your family this week. In times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry. May the name of the God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm. May he send you from this sanctuary today. May he strengthen you. May he remember all of your gifts, all that you have done to serve him. May he grant you your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. May we, your brothers and sisters in Christ, shout for joy when we hear of your victory. And we will raise a victory banner in the name of our God. May the Lord himself answer all of your prayers. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next Sunday.